Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com, SoundCloud.com, and everywhere else you go to get your podcasts. My name is John Boccacino, the host of this podcast since we launched in April of 2018 and a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. Glad to have you guys on board here talking Buffalo Bills as the calendar turns from May to June. We are now getting a little bit closer to the start of the NFL season. The Bills have their home preseason opener coming up in a little bit more than 2 months, which still gives us plenty of time to break down the team and their transactions and the key positional battles as Buffalo gets ready to improve upon last year's 6-10 record and try to make it back into the playoffs in the AFC. I know that, not to speak for all of Bills fans, but I am very excited for what moves the Buffalo Bills have made so far during this offseason. I love the offensive line that has been added in bulk, led by, of course, center Mitch Morse, Quentin Spain. There's been a ton of additions on the offensive line that really should help, you know, Buffalo get back on track when it comes to the running game. Obviously, you know, the Bills had some deficiencies on the offensive line last year, and they've done a lot to improve that area during the offseason. And as we sit here, as the calendar turns to June, I want to set the stage for what we'll be talking about here on the Believe podcast. A couple of topics I want to get to. I want to talk about the schedule itself, which has come out. We're not going to do a game-by-game prediction quite yet, but I want to take a look at, you know, where Buffalo might have an advantage and where the Bills might have their work cut out for them as far as easy and difficult of the schedule, which of course is always a fun discussion because, you know, those stories come out every year that this team has the hardest schedule in the league and this team has the easiest, and it's all predicated on how the team fared during the 2018 season. But I think it's fun conjecture to kind of look at where, you know, can the Bills get off to a fast start? You know, what's it going to be like record-wise to try to keep them in contention for a wild card berth or even the division, dare we dream big, with the last December games that are coming up. So I'm going to take some time and look at the Buffalo Bills schedule and give you some my thoughts on where things are advantageous for the Bills and where they might, again, have a difficult slate of the schedule. And then we're going to talk a lot about Josh Allen. I want to dive in and really take a look into his progress, his maturation, and what would be considered a successful leap from his rookie year to his second year. There's been some fun stats that have been put out there about, you know, Josh Allen's growth and maturation and what exactly he would need to do to mature and develop the leap forward. We have a whole bunch of cool articles that we'll be talking about here as we are breaking down Josh Allen's future with the Buffalo Bills. And then lastly, I want to talk about a story that was appearing on USA Today, I believe, is the origin, where they ranked all of the general managers and decision makers in the National Football League. And to no surprise, Brandon Bean did not fare as well. Maybe it was a justified ranking, but I kind of want to take a look at the reputation that Brandon Bean is getting around the league, because he has done tremendous work and made wholesale changes on this Buffalo Bills roster since taking over as the general manager. So that sets the stage for what's going to come up here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast, coming up right after this break.
Hey guys, Del Reed from 26shirts.com here. Just want to say thank you to everyone who's ever purchased a shirt from us before. We just recently passed $560,000 that we've donated from your purchases and your support. If you've never heard of 26shirts.com, head over there today. Check out the shirts we're selling. It's all based on Buffalo sports themes. And for every shirt we sell, we donate up to $8 to a local family or charity in need. So it's a win-win. So check it out, 26shirts.com, and let's go Buffalo.
We are back here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast, talking with you about the Buffalo Bills as we sit here coming up in the calendar has just turned to June, which means that the Bills still have organized team activities coming their way. There are 10 total organized team activities, And the next set of ones for the Buffalo Bills will be coming up this week, June 3rd and June 4th, and of course, June 6th and June 7th as well, before mandatory mini camp takes place June 11th to the 13th. Training camp, once again, will be at St. John Fisher College sometime in late July, as it has been for the past 20 plus years. And then, of course, the Buffalo Bills will kick off the 2019 season with a four-game preseason slate, starting off with a clash with the Minnesota Vikings that will be at New Era Field. That game is, believe it or not, in 2 months and 1 week away. So get ready, mark your calendars. There'll be a lot to talk about during the preseason battles. And then, of course, the regular season begins in September. The Buffalo Bills have two games to begin their season on the road in the same stadium, MetLife Stadium, taking on the two New Jersey-based teams, the New York Jets and the New York Giants, which transitions into our first topic here on Billy Bills Fan Podcast, breaking down the schedule and taking a look at where it has some opportunities to get off to potentially a fast start or take advantage of weaker opponents, and where the Bills are going to have a daunting part of their schedule. And I'm somebody who's an optimist, and I like to begin with some news about where the Bills might have their most daunting part of the schedule. And to me, it's the closing stretch. The last 6 weeks of the season, I believe, are really set up to be the hardest that Buffalo is going to take place during their schedule, outside of a game here home with the Denver Broncos, which I believe is a very winnable contest. Buffalo really has its work cut out for them, facing a bunch of playoff teams after week 12 of the NFL season. And the stretch starts off with the Dallas Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, Buffalo's first Thanksgiving game in almost two decades. It's going to be a primetime setting. It's going to be an amazing opportunity for the Bills to hopefully showcase that they are legit and for real and a playoff contender in the AFC. They were traveling to face a team that made the playoffs last year, of course, that led by Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Leighton Vander Esch, and there's a ton of talent on that Cowboys team. Amari Cooper came over from the Oakland Raiders, and the fact that that game is in Dallas on primetime, Thanksgiving Day, people are going to be sitting around their tables. You know, they finish off, or maybe they have it with their Thanksgiving feast while they watch some football as Buffalo goes to the Lone Star State to take on the Cowboys. That game is one of the toughest games on the calendar for the Buffalo Bills, and it's going to be a very daunting opportunity for Josh Allen to prove his mettle at this point. That's going to be week 13 of the season. The Buffalo Bills will know a lot more about, you know, how their offense is clicking. Can the defense really live up to the expectations of being a top five unit like they were last year, led by, of course, the outstanding safeties, you know, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde? The pass rush is going to have to be, you know, rounding into form at this point to contain Dak Prescott. That's going to be a very good challenge to see where Buffalo stands heading into the stretch run. And it doesn't get any easier, as after the game with the Cowboys, Buffalo will get 10 days to recuperate before welcoming Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens to New Era Field for the first of their December clashes. That game is going to be a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, December 8th. And Baltimore, of course, made the playoffs last year, has another suffocating defense, really will pose some challenges to what Buffalo can do, you know, on offense. And I think that's going to be a very difficult and very challenging part of their schedule, having the Cowboys and the Ravens on back-to-back weeks. And then, you know, the final two games of this stretch, you know, it's not even close. I feel like the Cowboys and Ravens are the hardest stretch part one, and then you take a break after you get the Cowboys and the Ravens games out of the way. They're going to have to travel to Pittsburgh and to the New England Patriots on back-to-back weeks. That, to me, is going to be the make-or-break part of the schedule. You know, regardless of what the Steelers are able to do in the post-Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown era, Ben Roethlisberger is still one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League. Juju Smith-Schuster is still an outstanding and dynamic wide receiving threat. You know, the Steelers still have weapons on offense. What their defense looks like, well, time will tell, but that's going to be a very tough task for Buffalo. And the Bills, I don't believe, have won a game in Pittsburgh since 1993. And again, you know, anytime you travel to a team late in the season that has high playoff expectations, that's going to be a very challenging task for the Buffalo Bills, having to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then, of course, traveling to Foxborough to play the perennial thorn in the Bills' side, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, the reigning Super Bowl champions. the thought is always that maybe that game doesn't mean much for the Patriots if they have the division wrapped up, and maybe they take it easy on Buffalo and rest some of their starters. But I always disagree with that, because the Patriots are always in the running for that number one spot in the AFC at home field throughout the playoffs. So I only think that really comes into play if it's a 17 game, and a week 16 is not week 17, if my math is correct. So of course the Patriots will probably be giving their all when it comes to hosting the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen will really have a tough task against a defense that is up and coming based on what they accomplished during the 2018 season. So to me, that is the hardest stretch right there. Those four games, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, welcoming Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to New Era Field, the first game in December, and then having back-to-back trips to the Steelers and the New England Patriots. It does get a little easier in Week 17, hosting the New York Jets on December 29th. The Jets are a dumpster fire, and hopefully the Bills can count on getting two wins against their AFC East foes from New Jersey in the Jets. But again, that to me is the toughest part of the schedule. Working backwards, because again, I like to have the bad news first, followed by some good news, we will talk about the easier portions of the schedule. And to me, I really think it's the beginning part of the schedule, the first four games in particular. Yes, you include Tom Brady in there in week four, but my rationale for this is as follows. Like I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, the Jets are a dumpster fire. Sam Darnold is looking to be a pretty good quarterback. He took his lumps during his rookie season, but the Jets in general just seem to be talent devoid compared to where the Buffalo Bills are. Their defense is definitely a top unit, but relatively speaking, the offense for the Jets struggles. And I feel like it's a great opportunity for the Bills to open up the season in New Jersey, taking on the Jets in week one. That's a good chance for Buffalo to get an AFC East win under their belt and get some confidence, and win that season opener is always a good way to start off a campaign. And then you go and take on the New York Giants, who knows, Eli Manning will probably be starting under center, but maybe Daniel Jones has an incredible preseason. Maybe Eli gets hurt. Saquon Barkley is really the only established offensive weapon I feel that the Giants have out there, and the Bills have done very well for themselves in the run defense. So I feel like Buffalo could have a good chance to contain Saquon Barkley, and I don't know if I see Eli Manning tearing apart this Buffalo Bills secondary as it's constituted. So that could be a good chance for Buffalo to go 2-0 right out of the gates. And then they welcome the Cincinnati Bengals for the home opener. It's also the tribute to Pancho Villa, Ezra Castro. That place is going to be absolutely bonkers on September 22nd when the Bills have their home opener at New Era Field. And, I think Buffalo is just going to come out inspired and pumped up, especially if they're on a 2-0 start and this defense is as good as we think they're going to be and the offense is gelling. The chance to go 3-0 to start off the season is an incredibly huge opportunity for the Buffalo Bills. And I look for Buffalo to strike while the iron's hot coming out of the gate. It's going to be a really good opportunity for Buffalo to set some momentum early in the season. And that sets the stage for the New England Patriots game coming up in week four on September 29th. I feel strongly, and I think the numbers back this up, that the Patriots treat the first month of the season as extended preseason. The team always struggles out of the gate as they're figuring out their identity. Tom Brady's weapons are taking time to figure out, the route running and the precision and establishing that timing with their Hall of Fame quarterback. It does take time for the Patriots to get rolling. So at least Buffalo gets a benefit of taking on the Patriots early in the season with their one of their home games being the second of back-to-back home games to close out September. But realistically, I think the Bills have a good shot at going 3-1 out of the gate. And then, of course, they have a trip to Tennessee. That's one of my bucket list of road trip destinations. I would love to make it to a Titans game one of these years, and I'd go see the Bills and Titans down in Nashville before the bye comes in week six. So if you have opinions on what you feel like are the toughest or easiest parts of the Buffalo Bills schedule, feel free to leave them in the comment section here on the podcast. But again, those are my thoughts on the hardest and the easiest portions of the schedule for the Buffalo Bills. Shifting gears now, I want to talk about Josh Allen and his maturation as a Buffalo Bills quarterback. I know that Bills fans last year, he kind of got a free pass, the number 7 overall pick did, because he suffered that right elbow injury against the Houston Texans, and his maturation and development was kind of stunted a little bit by missing those 4 games, which led to the Derek Anderson era, with the Bills hosting the Patriots on Monday Night Football with Derek Anderson starting under center. Matt Barkley got a win in there against the Jets while Josh Allen was still recovering from his elbow injury. So you could give Josh Allen an incomplete grade if you wanted to during his first year. But when he came back from that injury, the final 6 games of the season, Josh Allen established himself, in my opinion, as a quarterback to watch in the 2019 season. He guided the Bills to an even 3-3 record over their final 6 games. His completion percentage was lower than Bills fans might have liked, at a little under 53% for the season. He passed for 2,074 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. He also rushed for 631 yards on the ground, adding 8 touchdowns, averaging a robust 7.1 yards per carry. His numbers on the whole, a 67.9 passer rating and a 52.0 total QBR, which was the second best figure to Cleveland Browns rookie Baker Mayfield, and was the 12th best rookie score amongst rookie quarterbacks since ESPN began tracking the stat 13 years ago. And it's one of those things where, you know, you look at what Allen was able to accomplish. He did a lot of this not having a proven number one wide receiver. The Bills made some cuts last year. They got rid of some of their veteran wide receivers. They had to deal with Kelvin Benjamin, the underperforming Kelvin Benjamin, who really did not bring much of anything to the receiving game. And at the end of the year, their top wideouts were Zay Jones and Robert Foster, and Foster was an undrafted rookie free agent who, oh, by the way, after getting cut by the team earlier in October, really emerges himself as a breakout threat for the Buffalo Bills. He put together 3 100-plus receiving efforts during his rookie season, and Robert Foster and Josh Allen really seemed to develop a chemistry and a rapport that I feel cannot be undervalued as we head into the 2019 season. There was a great stat that I was reading about Buffalo's offense and the night and day difference that happened from when Robert Foster was not contributing to when Robert Foster was back on the field. Here's that stat for you. Through the first 9 weeks of the season, the Bills were one of the worst passing teams in the history of the league. Their opponents had scored more touchdowns off of pick sixes, thanks to Nathan Peterman, than the Bills had passing touchdowns. Their passer rating was 51.5. Their net yards per attempt was only 4.2. They had 3 total touchdown passes and 16 interceptions during the first 9 weeks of the season. That was by far the worst ratio in the league, and the Bills ranked next to last in the league in yards per completion at 9.9. But then something magical happened over the final half of the season, and I give Robert Foster a ton of credit for this. Foster establishes himself. Zay Jones takes the next step forward in his evolution as a wide receiver for Buffalo, and the Bills improved dramatically in the passing stats. The passer rating only got slightly better, but it was up to 78. Compared to 51.5, the Bills improved 20 spots in net yards per passing attempt, ranking 12th compared to 32nd in the first half of the season. They had more touchdown passes and interceptions at 10-7. And this is a stat that really is striking to me. Buffalo, over the final 8 weeks of the season, ranked first in the National Football League in yards per completion at 13.5. Now, if you compare that to what Buffalo was the first 9 weeks of the season, 9.9 yards per completion, that is a remarkable turnaround. And Josh Allen should get a lot of the credit for this, because he really settled into a rhythm. He established more of a rapport and a chemistry with his wide receivers, and he was healthy off of the elbow injury. But Robert Foster is the man who really took a step forward last year. And people have talked about Foster, and you know, he's potentially a boom or bust candidate in 2019. You know, people are thinking he might take a step backwards. Even if he regresses a little bit, you had to see the potential that Foster flashed last year. He was a speedster. He was a guy who could be a deep threat downfield. He had a reliable set of hands. His 25 catches over the team's final seven games of the season, he averaged 20.4 yards per catch, amassing 511 total yards on 25 catches, surpassing his career productivity in four seasons with the Alabama Crimson Tide. An unbelievable turnaround. And you could tell that his presence out there made Josh Allen feel that much more comfortable. And Foster as a deep threat opened up things for Zay Jones to operate and do what he's going to do on this out of the slot, on the underneath routes. You know, so with those two wide receivers really being the main, you know, contributors in the receiving game last year, Buffalo's offense took major steps forward. Now you factor in Josh Allen, who, you know, has more weapons around him this year with the addition of John Brown, another home run threat. You get Cole Beasley, who can help match and take some pressure off of Zay in the underneath game, and getting the passing routes going underneath and converting third downs. He's a great possession receiver for Buffalo to have out there. I feel like the Bills and their top four wide receivers are dramatically improved compared to what they were in 2018. And that's only going to help Josh Allen's development moving forward. Now, is Josh Allen going to be a candidate to lead the league in completion percentage? No, I don't think he's ever going to be the most accurate passer like a Drew Brees or like an Aaron Rodgers out there. But what Josh Allen can do is be somebody who is way more than what he was given credit for when he first came out of Wyoming as being more of a run-first quarterback. I think Josh Allen should scale back on his running in 2019, still scramble when he needs to, still if it's a second and long, if he can break off a 7 or an 8 yard run, that's fine. But we don't want Josh Allen leading the league in quarterback rushing yards, because to me that signifies that plays are breaking down downfield and the Bills have to abandon their original call. And that's more of a way for Josh Allen to get hurt too, because eventually, you know, as strong of a guy he is, taking those licks is going to lead to more of a risk for injury than the Bills want to subject their star quarterback to. So I feel like what Buffalo has done this offseason is setting Josh Allen up for success to take a leap forward with his 2019 campaign. And I want to give a credit to Scarecrow, one of our awesome writers here at Buffalo Rumblings. He did a great piece on analyzing what exactly we should expect from Josh Allen in the 2019 season. Scarecrow, Jeff does a great job through his GIFs and through his stats to look at exactly where Josh Allen could make some step forward and some comparisons out there. And I feel like I'm with him. I think it's an awesome article. I think Josh has a great opportunity to take a leap forward. The running game is being built to Josh Allen's strengths. You know, you look at who Buffalo added on the offensive line to give him more time with Mitch Morris and Quentin Spain and Ty and Shecky, even Spencer Long, you know, and then Cody Ford, the mauler out of Oklahoma, gets drafted in the second round. Those are major additions to a depleted offensive line from 2018 that will only give Josh Allen more time in the pocket. The running game itself, adding Frank Gore and adding TJ Yeldon, who is an underrated pass catcher out of the backfield, combined with, I might be proven wrong, but I think LeSean McCoy is going to bounce back, not be a 1,000-yard rusher, I don't think, in 2019, but I think he's going to be much improved. A, because how could he be much worse? He averaged a paltry 3.2 yards per carry in 2018. He has to get better in 2019. But part of that also was the fact that there weren't a lot of holes for Shady to run through because the O-line was getting shut down and manhandled with their attempts to open up the running game. So you factor in the additions on the offensive line, you factor in the more developed and accomplished wide receiver core, and then Josh Allen himself has really been impressing a lot of people so far. But everything you've read, Josh Allen is making tremendous strides forward. And veteran defensive end Yarbrough had some high praise for Josh Allen and his progress, saying that he was enamored with Josh, the strides that he's taken, and the progress he's made from his rookie year to year two, and the throws that he's making. It's next level. And it's unbelievable, the praise coming out of Western New York for Josh Allen so far. His work ethic, his approach to memorizing the playbook is tremendous. This guy gets it. He's a pro's pro who really wants to establish himself. He's more comfortable now under Brian Daboll's offense, and you can see it, the rapport with Zay Jones, the rapport he's establishing with Robert Foster, with Cole Beasley and John Brown coming in. The fact that there's the leadership traits too. I read on Twitter that there was a pass that Josh Allen overthrew one of his receivers on, and the receiver didn't quite run the proper route. Well, he pulls him aside and basically had a conversation talking with the receiver. I believe it was Zay Jones, who, again, he does have some chemistry with. But instead of being, yelling and hell and fire and brimstone and ripping Jones a new one, he's trying to give him constructive feedback on running his routes better, making his breaks from the route better to get himself open and gain more separation and make it as a teachable moment. And to me, the 23-year-old is showing poise well beyond his years. And I feel like Josh Allen really can take a step forward. If he can get his completion percentage up to the high 50s and low 60s, I could easily see him completing over 60% of his passes, well over 3,000 yards passing. Maybe he gets to 3,600 yards this year with the passing game. And then if you sit somewhere around, 22, 24 passing touchdowns and only 10 interceptions, controlling the turnovers and just limiting the mistakes, I think Bills fans will be very happy with those numbers. And if he does that, those should translate to wins on the field and Buffalo having a chance to make its second playoff appearance in the last 3 years. What do Bills fans think? What is the ceiling? What is the floor for Josh Allen when it comes to his progress as a quarterback here? I know the Buffalo Bills are really excited to see what their rookie, their former rookie, now their second year quarterback, can do coming up here in his second full year in the league. Josh Allen has all the potential in the world. The Bills have given him a lot of weapons to surround himself with, and having a top five defense potentially under Leslie Frazier's watch will only help the Bills earn those wins on the field and get the team hopefully back to the playoffs again in 2019. And the last topic I want to talk about here now are some rankings that were put out about leadership and general managers and their success as front office executives in leading their teams to wins. And USA Today had the article where Brandon Bean was ranked 23rd on the list of leaders of front office executives. Howie Roseman of the Philadelphia Eagles was ranked number one. Bill Belichick was ranked number two, which I was kind of surprised about because, the Patriots, again, reigning Super Bowl champions, seem positioned for prolonged success, even with Tom Brady approaching, hopefully, the end of his career. Father Time will catch up with him at some point, but he has done a great job. Bill Belichick, as much as you hate the Patriots, they've done a great job rebuilding and reloading year in and year out. But for me, Brandon Bean, I'm surprised he was only ranked 23rd. And the article doesn't really, I really wasn't impressed with the points that were made. They were saying the points against him were drafting Josh Allen as high as they did at number seven, spending big time bucks on Star Latuale, and then trading for Kelvin Benjamin. Yes, the Benjamin trade was a horrible move, and if Buffalo could get it back, I'm sure they would take a do-over and never make that trade, even though Buffalo had that pipeline going with the Carolina Panthers. But, the article does give credit for Brandon Bean making some wise offseason moves. And to me, the thing with Brandon Bean that I'm most impressed with is how he has taken an organization that was in total disarray and total chaos and brought stability to it. With the Jerry Hughes extension, the contract extension for two more years, keeping Buffalo's versatile and talented defensive end under wraps for two more years, Brandon Bean has totally overhauled this roster that was devoid of top-level talent and has made them more competitive from number 1 to 53 on the roster. The next man up mentality means that there's actually quality players who can step up whenever an injury happens versus Buffalo hoping and praying that a practice squad guy can make a big impact. Gone are those days where Buffalo has to count on every single one of its draft picks to step in and contribute in order to be successful. Now Buffalo can focus more on having quality players out of the draft versus a quantity of players to step in and fill a roster that really was needing overhauls in the past. So for me, Brandon Bean, 23 is a little bit too low for me on the rankings. I feel like he has done a tremendous job making his impression, making his mark on this roster. And if the Bills are able to go out and make the playoffs again for the second time in 3 years, his status should climb significantly when the 2020 20 rankings come out for front office executives. Well, folks, that'll do it here for Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. We'll be back next week talking more Buffalo Bills football with you here on Believe.
Hey, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. I wanted to let you know of another set of Bills podcasts that you should subscribe to on the Buffalo Rumblings channel on your favorite podcast app. You can find Buffalo Rumblings Q&A hosted by me, where we take fan questions and answer them. There's Circling the Wagons podcast, which is a lighthearted look at the Bills. And then the Blitzed Bills podcast, which takes a look at all over the NFL, but also relates it back to our Buffalo Bills. You can find it by searching for Buffalo Rumblings on any of your podcast apps or iTunes. We would love it if you would subscribe today and hear all of our great shows on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network.